Good morning. Morning. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for this opportunity. And I'd like to thank my lovely wife and my daughters for being here on today. My wife, she's far superior to me in pretty much everything. I mean, she got better grades in school. She was a better student. The only thing she's bad at is picking men. I guess she saw potential in me. No, today we're going to talk a little bit on potential. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, not asking you for anything, but thanking you for everything, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy, your grace on this morning, Lord. Thank you for all that you do in our lives and all that you continue to do, Lord. We give you the honor, we give you the praise, and we just bless your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about unlocking the potential that God has created you for. And we're going to talk a little bit about your most valuable possession. I figured this would be a great opportunity to speak on potential. Each of us have a great deal of potential. However, the graveyard is filled with people who've never reached their full potential. Dreams that have died and will never be fulfilled because we choose not to trust God and his plan for our lives. The Bible tells us that broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. In the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible reads, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And this is indicative of our day and age. When man chooses to do what's right in his own eyes, truth becomes subjective. However, there is a such thing as absolute truth, which trumps what you think or what you say. In some ways, we live our lives as if Jesus isn't the King of Kings. You see, Jesus is the embodiment of truth and love. The very essence of who he is truth and love. That's in his spiritual DNA. Jesus affirms this in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That, to me, indicates exclusivity. Exclusivity, which means it's part, apart from Christ, it is impossible to know God. So exclusivity, again, apart from Christ, it is impossible to know God. You see, Jesus, he is the icon of God. That means he is the exact representation of who the Father is. This is why Jesus said to Philip in the book of John, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." What's the definition of potential? And I like this definition. Potential is untapped power, hidden strength, unused ability of dormant power. Dormant power. That means that something has to ignite the fire within you. Dynamite doesn't light itself. Someone has to light the fuse, right? And for the Christian, that someone is Jesus. Jesus is the dynamite and the fuse within every believer. Don't get the idea that God needs your help to accomplish his plan. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and blameless before him in love. Why us? I ponder this question a lot. Why me? And every time I ask myself this question, out of all of creation, why us? Why me? Why human beings? Imperfect human beings. And every time my only response to this is, it's because of his great love for us. So much so that Christ died for us. You see, we don't fully understand the power that we possess in Christ. Because if we did, we would be more intentional with regards to how we live our lives. What do I mean by more intentional? We would live our lives with purpose. We would be more deliberate about serving God with all of who we are. You see, we serve a God with no limitations, who is almighty, who is all powerful, who is all knowing and all capable, and yet we fail to be dedicated. We fail to be committed. We fail at a lot of things. Would you take the word of God and turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 35. An old preacher would tell a story about an African farmer. He wanted to be wealthy. He wanted to be rich. So he sold his farm. This was in the time in Africa when they were discovering diamond mines. He went off in discovery of diamonds. However, along the journey, he became distraught and he drowned himself in a pool of water. But the man who purchased his farm was walking across a stream of water. He saw an unusual object. He knelt down and picked it up, and it was a diamond. It turns out the place was loaded with diamonds, and it was one of Africa's largest diamond mines ever discovered. And he sold it to go off and search for diamonds. You see, this man had everything that he needed. He just didn't cultivate what God had given him. In some ways, we are the same way. You see, your soul is your most valuable possession. And yet we fail to cultivate what God has given us. Your soul is worth more than all of the diamonds, the gold, the stocks, the bonds, all the treasures that this world can offer you. Your one soul is worth more than all of that. Listen to what God says about us in this verse of scripture. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible tells us that for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in. That means that you were purposed for greatness. You were handcrafted by God, right? Before the world was ever created, before we were ever conceived, God thought of us. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, God tells us that, behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands, right? He's engraved you, the fine details, your character, all that makes up who you are. God, he handcrafted that. God didn't speak you into existence. He handcrafted you. You are the handiwork of God Almighty. In John chapter 15, verse 15, God calls us his friend. I don't know many people I call my friend. I have many associates. However, friendship indicates that there is a personal relationship. God wants a personal relationship with each of us. I want to pose a question today, a rhetorical question in nature. If you own something of immeasurable value, of infinite value, right? There's no way to quantify that which you own, but it was of infinite value. Would you sell that which you owned in exchange for something of a lesser value. You see, we trade stocks, we trade bonds and other financial products on Wall Street. However, how many of you know that souls are being traded daily? And people are leaving this world for an eternity with a bad bargain. Let's talk about a transaction. Take the word of God and let's look at Mark chapter 8, verse 35. The Bible reads that, "For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" It's pretty simple. I think of it like this. A car is meant to drive, right? And if it can't drive, it's useless. God created you for his glory, right? And in order for us to be able to fulfill the purpose that God has created us for, we have to have a relationship with him, right? Apart from him, we can do nothing. Now, your soul is your greatest commodity. And God's talking about a transaction, Jesus being the master teacher, and he's talking about a man that would trade his soul for all that this world has to offer. You see, nobody can conquer the whole world. And even if he did, he couldn't keep it. After gaining this entire world, you still wouldn't be satisfied. You see, we look at Hollywood and we look at the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, and we think that somehow if we accomplished what people in Hollywood has accomplished, and we acquire the wealth and we amassed the ability to be seen by millions, that somehow that will fulfill the longing of our hearts. Money won't satisfy the longing of our hearts. You see, prestige won't satisfy the longing of our hearts. Education won't satisfy the longing of our hearts. Philosophy won't satisfy the longing of our hearts. King Solomon said it best when he penned these words. He said, "For it is all vanity." It's all vanity. God made you for him, and only he can fulfill the longing of our hearts. You see, without oxygen, one can't survive. You see, God is the element that we need to survive in this life and the next. Verse 37. "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What are you willing to exchange for your most valuable commodity? For some it's money. For others it's prestige, social status. If I told you I would give you all that this world has to offer for your soul, would you take that deal? Don't answer that, but some would. Some would. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. At his weakest point, Jesus was tempted. The Bible tells us that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan appeared. Right? In verse 1, the Bible says that then Jesus was led up to the Spirit. Led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered him. You see, in life we will be tempted. And without God, it is impossible to navigate this thing we call life without God ordering your steps. God has told us, do not be conformed to this world. In verse 38, Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." You see, a thing is worth what somebody will pay for it. How much are you worth? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus paid the price for you. That's how valuable you are to God. Of immeasurable value. Now that we know, it would be foolish to trade our souls for, which is worth infinite value, how do we reach our full potential in life? Well, your will must align with God's will. You might ask, what is God's will for my life? The Bible reads in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So that means that all that you do in your life, if you do it apart from God, then it's useless, right? God created you to bear his image, right? He created us for his glory, right? And apart from him, we're useless. Just as I said about the car that can't drive. We can't fulfill the potential within us apart from him. So that means that we do all that we can for the Lord on our jobs, in our homes, when no one's looking. I have 3 points that I would like to touch on before I close. Number one, for you to unlock your potential that God has placed inside of you, you have to have the ability to persevere. God wants us to be plugged in. If you're not plugged into the source, then you can't receive his power. And without the power of God, we are doomed to fail in this life. Number two would be prayer. Prayer is essential to the Christian walk. How often did we see Jesus praying? So we have to model the prayer life of Jesus, right? We have to model his prayer life. Jesus prayed so much that we find ourselves reading the scriptures and seeing that some of his disciples fell asleep. They fell asleep, right? We don't want to be asleep at the wheel in life. We want to pray constantly. God wants persistence out of us. This is why Jesus says, come, you know? He says, I stand before the door and knock. Right? God expects persistence out of us. You see, we live in a generation where we want instant gratification. Right? If we don't get a response from God right away, then we stop praying. Right? God wants to see us persist in prayer. Right? That's part of the life of being a Christian. And that was a major part of the life of Jesus. So how much more should it be a part of our lives? Jesus being God, right? You see how much he prayed. Us being humans and imperfect, how much more should we be praying? Number three is direction, right? Last but not least, we need direction, right? A lot of us like to direct our own path in life, right? And I've done this before many times. Men, you know, we do this all the time. You purchase something and you fail to read the instructions, only to realize that you did something wrong. However, had we read the instructions from the outset, we would be in a far better place. The Word of God is the instruction manual. And without it, you're headed down the wrong path. We need God's Word to be able to survive this thing that we call life. And we need a relationship with Him. The Bible tells us that it is not God's will that any shall perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of who he is through his son, Jesus. So without prayer, without perseverance, without direction from God, it is impossible to fulfill the purpose that God has ultimately created you for. Who's directing your path? Are you allowing God to lead you? Is he directing your path? It was Billy Sunday, a great preacher from yesteryear, who illustrated it like this. He said, how long is an eternity? Think about that, an eternity. You see, God transcends time, space, and matter. God is outside of the physical world, right? He exists in eternity. Bible says from everlasting to everlasting. You know, Jesus' incarnation, his birth, that wasn't, he existed always, right? He has been in existence with the Father since the beginning. Billy Sunday said, imagine a bird was going to move this physical planet. a bird in his beak, one grain of sand at a time. He said it would take a million years to get there and a million years to get back. And Billy Sunday said that when that bird had moved this entire planet in his beak, one grain of sand at a time, a million years there to a distant planet, million years back, he said it would only be breakfast time in eternity. Breakfast time in eternity. That struck me. That amazes me, that eternity. You see, our lives, we are living to live for an eternity. The bodies that we have, they are temporary. Your soul is going to last for an eternity. You see, we like to put makeup on our faces. We like to look good. We like to dress the part. But the soul is the diamond that lives within you. That's the most valuable commodity that you have. Some may think that their house is what's valuable. Some may think that a car is most valuable. All of the accoutrements of this world does not measure up to the value of one soul. You are of immeasurable value to God. So much so that he gave his only begotten son to die a cruel death on the cross on your behalf. A cruel death. They spit on Jesus. They put thorns on his head. They pierced his side. All because of us. He was perfect. Perfect man. Deity. The God-man. And God, who created, who spoke the physical universe into existence, died for you. How amazing is that? That the God of the universe would come and be a servant, not to be served, but to serve others. That's astonishing to me. If you're sick and tired of not reading the instruction manual and you are ready to allow God to lead you, or maybe you've read the instruction manual and you've been trying to assemble your life by yourself, today is the day to commit your life to Christ. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today. Tomorrow isn't promised. We live as though tomorrow's promised. We make plans as though tomorrow is promised, but tomorrow isn't promised. Somebody is leaving this world now. Not in 10 minutes, but now. So you need to get your life right now. Right? Because the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can confess it now, you can accept him now, or you can spend an eternity without God. Right? An eternity is a long time. It's a long time. You don't get second chances at life. There's no second chance in life. Bible says after death comes judgment. And without Christ, there's no forgiveness for the sins that we commit daily. Right? And Jesus died for us. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your commitment to us. Although we are not as committed to you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. Although at times we don't show love, Lord. We thank you for your compassion towards us, Lord. And although at times we don't show compassion to others, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for Jesus. Because of him, we are made right with you, Lord. We can come before throne of grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're an amazing God. You're an awesome God. You're a long-suffering God. You're a merciful God. We thank you on today. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody who wanted to recommit their lives to Christ or has never been committed to Christ and you want to know where to start, we'll be in the foyer. We can speak with you about the relationship that all of us need to have with the God of all creation. So you guys have a good week, and God bless you. We pray that God guides you and he leads you and God protects you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.